Spirit would help me as I attempt to preach the lesson, to teach the lesson this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say the things, Father, that you would have me to say. Lord, I hope this to be a time of learning and a time of challenge for our church family. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach with the right spirit. Lord, I pray that you would help me to not say anything, Father, that you would not have me to say this morning. We love you, Lord, in your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm sorry, Brother Vincent, could I get a water up here? I apologize, brother. I know you just sat down. 1 Timothy chapter 3 there. Before we get into the sermon this morning, I want to give a disclaimer this morning. And really, the disclaimer is to our guest. If you are a first-time guest here at Verity Baptist Church, I'd like to give you just a little bit of a disclaimer. At Verity Baptist Church, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. No problem. At Verity Baptist Church, we preach a variety of sermons. If you come to our church for any period of time, you'll notice that sometimes we'll preach a doctrinal sermon. We'll deal with a subject, you know, one doctrine, and teach that to our people. Sometimes we'll preach what I call a narrative sermon. Like, for example, last week we talked through the story of David and Goliath, and we found a lot of truths in that story that apply to our lives today. Sometimes I'll preach a topical sermon about a topic like prayer or Bible study, or we'll teach sermons about the family or soul winning, just a variety of different sermons. We see the church time as a time to edify and grow Christians. So we try to preach just a variety of a lot of different sermons. Today's sermon is really more of a training session for our church family. So I guess what I'm trying to say, if you're a guest with us this morning, maybe you're checking us out, or maybe you come here regularly, but you don't really consider yourself part of the Verity Baptist Church family. You know, our church started just a little less than 4 years ago. We started in our living room of our house, and we kind of grew out of that, and we've been growing, getting into different buildings. The Lord has been blessing us. But maybe you're here, and maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, but you don't really consider yourself part of our church yet. You're kind of just checking us out. It's your first time here. I'd like to tell you, you're in luck this morning, okay? Because you are in a guilt-free zone, all right? Nothing in the sermon is going to make you feel bad this morning, because I want you to understand, today I'm kind of teaching to our church family. So today you kind of get to sit in on a family meeting, all right? You get to kind of, you know, maybe you're not even a Christian, and you get to see how a Christian family interacts and how a Christian family works. And we're just kind of having a family meeting. You ever had those at home where mom and dad kind of call a meeting, and you maybe teach the kids a few things or things like that? We're kind of having a church family meeting this morning, just a little bit of a training. So I want you to understand, this is not a normal sermon at our church. So just kind of sit back, and you'll be able to listen, and I'm sure you'll learn a few things. But for our church family, I'd like you to know this morning, I'm preaching on the subject. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 15. I want to bring your attention to a certain phrase. The Bible says, "But if I tarry long..." This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the young preacher Timothy. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know..." Notice this phrase. "How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." I want to teach a sermon or preach a sermon this morning on the subject of how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, or how we should behave ourselves in church. And I, you know, oftentimes we come to church and we don't really know, you know, what is proper or improper, what we should do or what we should not do. So I want to just teach you a lesson in regards to how to behave in the house of God. And I want to give you just a few pointers this morning. Number one, if you're taking notes, you got a section there for sermon notes on the back of your bulletin. If you'd like to take notes, you're welcome to do that. Number one, I want to deal with, you know, how to behave in church. Let's begin at the beginning, you know, before the church service. How you should behave yourself before the church service. Now, yeah, 1 Timothy is kind of our text for this morning, or it was kind of just the jumping point for this morning. But I'd like you to find the book of Ezra in the Old Testament. Ezra, if you get to the Old Testament, you'll find these books, all the books that start with 1st and 2nd. You know, you got 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. If you can find all those 1 and 2 books, 1 and 2 books, 1 and 2 books, after 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you got the book of Ezra. So you got 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, then you got the book of Ezra. And I'd like you to see a verse about this man Ezra. Ezra chapter number 7, and if you look with me at verse number 10, Ezra chapter number 7, and if you look at verse number 10, I'd like you to notice, you know, you say, how should we behave ourselves in the house of God? Well, it all begins before you ever get to church. Before the church service ever begins, I'd like you to know that the first step you should take in how to behave yourself in the house of God is to prepare your heart to hear from God's Word. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says this, for Ezra had, notice this phrase, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Now notice, he not only prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, but he prepared his heart to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And you got to understand, the purpose that we have church is to learn from the Word of God. That is the number one primary reason we come to church. Now, there are other reasons we may come to church: fellowship, singing, you know, activities, you know, organizing ourselves for reaching the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the primary reason we come to church is to learn from the Word of God. The Bible says, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one thing that we should all do before we ever step into the congregation is by ourselves alone, maybe at home, before we ever leave the house for church, we ought to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. You know, I wonder how many of us spend time in prayer before we come to church asking God to speak to my heart today. Lord, would you pray, Lord, I pray that you would use the preacher this morning or the preacher tonight as the word is being preached to speak to my heart, to teach me and prepare your heart to be able to seek the law of the Lord. Go to the book of Acts in the New Testament, Acts chapter number 17. If you get to the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then you got the book of Acts. If you start right at the beginning, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you've got the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter number 17 and look at verse number 11. Let me show you this. Different terminology, same concept. Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, I don't want to take the time to read the entire passage. You can read it on your own if you like. But this is talking about the church in Berea. It's talking about a church in the city of Berea. The Apostle Paul has gone there, and he says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, talking about another church. Why were they more noble? Notice, in that they, notice this, received the word with all readiness of mind. When these people went to church, they had prepared their hearts, they had prepared their mind, they were ready to receive God's word. They were ready to be instructed, they were ready to be taught, they were ready to allow the word of God to minister into their hearts and into their life. The Bible says they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, I'm going to ask you, keep your finger there in Acts, all right? Keep your finger in Acts 17, because we're going to come back to it. But if you'd find the book of Ephesians, now you're there in Acts, so just go past Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then you got the book of Ephesians. You got Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. I'm going to try to coach you to get to the passages, because I'd like you to see these passages as we study them this morning. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is before the church service, you got to prepare your heart to hear from God's Word. But you know, let me, and again, I'm talking to our church family this morning. Let me encourage you. Before the church service, you ought to develop a habit of showing up to church 15 minutes early. You say, how should I behave myself in the house of God? Well, before the service ever even starts, you ought to develop a habit of showing up to the church 15 minutes early. I was in the Air Force, and those of you that were in the military, I'm sure you had similar experiences. But in the Air Force, we were always taught, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. Your appointment's at 10 a.m. If you're not there by 9:45, you're late. And we were always taught, you show up 15 minutes early. And I want to teach our church family, develop a habit of showing up 15 minutes early to the service. You know, don't have this habit of always running late to church. You say, you know, well, where's that in the Bible? Look, are you there in Ephesians chapter 5? Look at verse 16. Let me just show you a concept in Scripture. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. I understand today's sermon is not really, bombastic, dynamic, screaming and yelling sermon. I'm kind of just training and helping you understand a few things. But Ephesians chapter 5, if you look at verse 16, the Bible says this, redeeming. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word redeem, the idea there is a concept of purchasing something. You redeem something. It means there's value to it. What the Bible is trying to teach is that there is a value to time. You ought to not waste time. You ought to redeem time. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And you ought to, you know, develop a habit of not being late to church. Now, let me go ahead and just give a disclaimer right now. Because whenever I teach on this or preach on this, somebody gets upset and they say, Pastor just said that because he knew that today I walked in late to church. Okay, number one, when I write my sermon, I have no idea who's going to show up to church late that day. Do you understand that? I don't have a magic ball at home. I look at it and say, okay, who's going to come to church late today, you know? Number one. Number two, let me say this. Let me just help some of you out, because I think sometimes you guys are a little too hard on the preacher, okay? Let me help you from my mindset, okay? If I waited to correct the idea of latecomers, okay, if you're someone who's habitually late, just be honest with yourself, okay? And ask yourself this question. When's the last time you gave me an opportunity to preach on someone being late without someone showing up late? Someone always shows up late. So I'm going to have to talk about it at some point. And some of you show up late every service. So, you know, if you put me in the position of, well, you can't talk about it when I'm late. Okay, show up on time and then we'll talk about it. But here's the point. You got to develop a habit of not being late. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about everyone from time to time runs late. We all have things happen. You know, you wake up and your car got broken into, or you got a flat tire, or your child's sick. I understand. From time to time, we're always running late. But here's who I'm talking to, and you know who you are. The individuals who are always late. It's a habit of being late. If you're on time, it's like a mirror. It's like, whoa, you showed up on time. That's crazy. Okay? You ought to develop a habit of being early to church. And you know, I'm not here to just pick on you. Let me give it, because I know some people just, that's their issue. They can't show up late. They couldn't show up. Look, I personally know people who have lost jobs because they cannot figure out how to show up on time to work. I knew people who got kicked out of the military because they could not figure out how to get to work on time. So I'm not against you. I'm not here to try to pick on you. Honestly, I want to try to help you. Let me give you some tips for not being late. For those of you that are habitually, and again, I'm not talking about if you just run late every once in a while, you have an accident, something happened. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about people who are always late. And by the way, this isn't just for church. This will help you with your job. This will help you with other appointments. This will help you with things. Let me give you a few tips in regards to not being late, okay? Because I think that there are some people who are always late, all the time, everywhere they go. You can just count on the fact so-and-so is going to be here 20 minutes late. How do you know that? Because they're always 20 minutes late, everywhere. You know, and I almost think to myself, if we could just kind of reset their body clock just 20 minutes earlier, then they'd always kind of be early, you know? But let me give you a few things, because I think sometimes people don't know how the rest of us think. And when I say the rest of us, I mean those of us that aren't late, okay? Let me give you a few tips for those of you that are constantly running late. Number one, plan backwards. Plan backwards. This is how I used to think. When I was in the Air Force, I lived in Sacramento. I was stationed at Travis Air Force Base, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away. And this is what I used to think, okay? Well, we lived on Travis, but when we moved to Sacramento to start this church, I was still commuting back and forth. And here's how I used to think, okay? I used to think, I need to be at work at 6 a.m. But I need to be there at 5:45 a.m. because if I'm not 15 minutes early, I'm late. Okay, it takes me an hour and 15 minutes to drive there. Really, it takes me an hour to drive there, but I want to give myself a little bit of buffer. So if I want to be there at 5:45, I need to be leaving no later than 4:45, but with a little bit of a buffer, you know, I need to be leaving my house at 4:30. Now, I knew that it took me, you know, 30 minutes to, you know, I don't have to do my hair, okay? I took a shower the night before, whatever. So I knew if I got up at 4 a.m., I had 30 minutes to put on my uniform, you know, brush my teeth, read my Bible, pray, and get in the car and drive to work. And if something, you know, if I didn't have time for all that, I might skip the brushing my teeth, you know what I mean, or something. But here's the thing. And so I knew I got to get up at 4 a.m. to be out the door by 5:30 so I can give myself an hour. See, that's how people who show up on time think. Here's how latecomers think. I need to be at work at 6 a.m. At 5:40, you're like, oh man, I got to go to work. And then you're late. Okay, plan backwards. Church starts at 10:30. You want to be here by 10:15. It takes you 20 minutes to get here. Do you understand? Plan backwards. Number two, plan on being 15 minutes early. Don't plan on being here tonight at 6 p.m. Plan on being here at 5:45. Don't plan on being here on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Plan on being here at 6:45. Don't plan on being here at 10:30. Plan on being here at 10:15. Plan to be everywhere early, 15 minutes early, because here's the thing, if you're running late, you're still on time. Number three, give yourself a 15-minute or 10-minute buffer. If you really struggle with tardiness, give yourself a 15-minute buffer above the 15 minutes early. Here's another hint. Set alarms to remind you when you need to start getting ready. Look, I'll be honest with you. I have an issue with, you know, time management. I read a lot of books on time management. I live my life off of to-do lists and schedules. So I understand it's very easy to get caught up in something you're working in, something you're doing. You know, so here's what I do. Here's what Pastor Jimenez does to try to help myself. On my phone, I have alarms. So I not only set an alarm for when I have to go to work or get up in the morning. If I know that I need to be somewhere at 6 p.m. and I know that I need to be getting ready by, you know, 4:30 so that I can have enough time to be there by 6 p.m., I'll set an alarm at 4:30 that tells me, that reminds me, when this alarm goes off, it's time for me to start getting ready or I'm going to be late. Some of you would be good to set an alarm for every Sunday night service, every Wednesday night, just not this Sunday night and that's it. Every Sunday night, just set an alarm to remind yourself. Okay? To remind yourself, I gotta start getting ready. I gotta start getting dressed. I gotta start get to church on time. I gotta get to work on time. Plan on not having. Don't have the you know. Just don't be known as the guy. Don't be known as the gal that's just always late. Because you know, here's the honest truth. It's rude to waste people's time. When people are waiting on you and you're just wasting their time, it's rude. Now, from time to time, we all run late because of emergencies. We understand that. We get that. But don't allow yourself to be the individual that's constantly always late. Plan on showing up 15 minutes early to church. Now, you say, well, Pastor, why does it matter to show up 15 minutes early to church? Go to Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. I'll tell you exactly why. Romans chapter number 16. If you're in Ephesians, remember you had your finger in Acts? Okay, keep your finger in Acts, but the next book would be Romans. Okay, so go to Romans chapter 16. And let's just read a few verses together, and I want you to see this. And this kind of ties into the last point, and it brings me to my next point. Romans chapter number 16. From time to time, we'll preach doctrinal sermons. From time to time, we'll preach inspirational sermons. From time to time, we'll preach narrative sermons. Tonight's sermon will be completely different than this morning's. But today, which is kind of a training session for our church family. Romans chapter number 16, look at verse 3. Romans chapter number 16, look at verse 3. I want you to notice these words, okay? Greet. You see the word greet there? The word greet means to give a polite word or welcome or recognition to someone. It says greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul saying, I'd like you to greet this individual, Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 5, likewise, notice this word, greet the church that is in their house. Notice this word, salute. The word salute means to give a polite recognition or acknowledgement of someone. He says, likewise, salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Verse 8. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Verse 9. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stanchius, my beloved. Verse 10. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Verse 11. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Now I can show you many more passages, but I think this one kind of makes the point. One of the reasons that we come to church is to fellowship with each other. And you know, we ought to develop a habit of greeting individuals. You ought to come to church. You say, how do I behave myself? Well, before church starts, you ought to have a habit of greeting people. And you know, let me encourage our church family. Greet your friends. Paul in other passages says, salute them by name. Hey, greet your friend. I'm glad that at Very Baptist Church, we have a close-knit spiritual family here where people love each other and help each other and want to see each other and greet your friends. And you ought to greet your friends. But you know what? Let me encourage you. Greet guests. And our church doesn't really have a problem with this, but I was taught a long time ago, if you deal with an issue before you have an issue, you'll never have an issue. And our family, and our church family is really, I'm constantly being told by guests, you know, you have such a nice church family, I'm not coming back because they don't like you. You know, they don't like me. But they like you guys, they just don't like me. That's fine, I'll take that. But here's the thing, we ought to greet guests. When a guest comes to church, you ought to walk up to them and say, "Hey, how are you? Glad you're here. We've been praying for you." Have we not been praying for guests? Aren't we not glad they're here? How do you hear about our church? You ought to greet our guests. So don't just greet your friends, greet your guests. And by the way, greet anyone that you just don't know. Maybe there's someone that's been coming here for 3 to 6 months and you've never met them. You don't know what their name is. Seek them out. Say, "Hey, you know what? I've noticed you've been coming to church for a while and I don't even know your name. I'd like to apologize. What's your name? Nice to meet you. Glad you're here." You know, we ought to greet each other. Now here's the thing. How do you greet each other if you're not here 15 minutes early? Do you know that the average visitor shows up to church 5 to 10 minutes early? And you know that the average visitor makes up their mind about whether they're coming back to church within the first 7 minutes of being in church? And if the average visitor has already almost decided in their mind whether they're coming back before the song service ever started, before I ever got up to speak, they've already based whether they like our church or not based on what? People greeting them. People saying, "Hey," having a smiling face. Now here's the thing, if you're the individual that shows up to church 5 minutes after the service has already started, every service, how are you helping us to reach the community? When we invite them to church and then they come and no one greets them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. About 6 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and I'm not picking on anyone, I'm just trying to help our church family. About 6 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we had 42 people in church on Wednesday night. That's praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful. 42 people in church on Wednesday night. You know how many we had in church when the service started? 12. I counted. We had 12 people sitting in the chairs at 7 p.m. when the service started. By the time the service was over, we had 42 people sitting in church. That tells me 30 people from our church showed up in church on Wednesday night. We had 12 people here, 2 first-time guests. How do you think they felt? I mean, what am I supposed to say to them? People really do come to this church, I promise. They just all run late. Do you think they felt welcomed? We need to be a friendly church. And you ought to have a habit of showing up early, smiling, shaking people's hands, greeting your friends, greeting the guests. Have a spirit of hospitality about you, but show up early so that we can help people and love people and help direct people. It's hard for an individual that does not know us to, it takes a lot for them to come here into a place that they don't know anybody, and come here, and then we're not helping when we all show up late. So have a habit of showing up early. That's why it's important for us. And by the way, we want to get to know you. We want to get to spend time with you. We want to see how your week was. So, number one, how do we behave in the house of God? Before the service ever starts, how do we behave? First thing is we prepare our hearts for the preaching of God's word, privately. The next thing is we show up early so that we can greet someone, so that we can shake someone's hand, so that we can get to know somebody, so that we can help somebody. Number two, how do we behave during the singing service? How do we behave during the singing service? Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Now, if you just take your Bible and you open it just right smack down in the center, you will more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. And I'd like you to look at Psalm 95. There's many Psalms I could show you, but I want to show you Psalm 95. Look at verse 1. Psalm 95 and verse number 1. During the singing service, how do you behave during the singing service, okay? This is a really easy point. We'll get it in and we'll be done, okay? Psalm 95, look at verse 1, okay? Notice what the Bible says. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." Let's just read that again. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." Why don't we read it together? Let's read it like we're all awake, okay? "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." You say, "Pastor Menes, what do we do during the singing service?" Here's what you do. Sing out. Sing loud. Isn't it exciting when we sing out for God? Wasn't it exciting this morning when we were singing, "And can it be?" And everybody was singing out. Hey, how exciting do you think the singing service was on the Wednesday night when we started the first song with 12 people? And 2 of them were first-time guests that probably didn't know the song. It's exciting. People are excited to come to a place where other people are there and other people are excited and everybody's ready to sing and your heart has been prepared for the preaching of the Word of God and you're excited to be there. So show up early and sing out. Now some of you are going to say this, "Pastor Jimenez, I don't know how to sing." Okay, well notice what it says. "Oh come, let us sing unto the Lord." And just in case you say, "Well Pastor Jimenez, I don't know how to sing." Notice what he says. "Let us make a joyful noise." Can you at least make a noise? "To the rock of our salvation." I don't know how to sing. Okay, then just make a noise. My daughter Elizabeth can be a testament to this. She doesn't know how to sing. She doesn't know how to read. She doesn't know the words, but you can hear her making a noise. I mean, she's like, can you do that? Hey, sing out. Look at verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with song. And by the way, here's how you sing out, okay? Open your mouth. People say, well, Pastor, you can sing out because you have a mic. Okay, for many, many years, I didn't have a mic. Okay, let me just give you an example. The mic's off. And can it be that I should gain? That's how I used to sing before I had a mic. Do I have anything? Is there anything special about this platform that, you know, onward Christian soldier? Here's the point. Open your mouth and sing out. And it doesn't matter how well you sing. It doesn't matter if look, this isn't American Idol, okay? It's just the house of God. It's exciting to sing praises to God. It's exciting to get together and sing with the church family and sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's exciting to sing with God's people. And by the way, teach your children to sing out. You know, teach your kids to sing. Teach your kids to sing out during the church service. It's exciting to hear children sing praises to God. So how do we behave during the church service? Well, before the service, we prepare our hearts for the meeting of God's house. We show up 15 minutes early and we greet our friends and we greet the guests and we have a spirit of hospitality about us. During the singing service, we sing out and we teach our children to sing out. Did you keep your finger in Acts? Go back to Acts 17. Let me show you what we do during the preaching service. This is right now. What do you do during the preaching service? Okay, let me say this. Use your Bible during the preaching. Use your Bible during the preaching. I know that a lot of times people say, they come here and they say, you go to too many references, you talk way too fast, and I can't keep up with you. I know, I apologize, I'm sorry, but I promise you, because I've had so many people say this to me, you try to follow along with us in the scripture, and I'll help you the best that I can. I'll tell you, hey, you know, find all the T books, or hey, find all the 1 and 2 books, or I'll try to guide you as I can. But I promise you, if you stick around with us, eventually people come up to me, they're like, Pastor, when I first started coming to church, I couldn't keep up with the verses. Now I'm there before you get there. You know, and I'm like, hey, praise God. Okay? You will become accustomed to learning how to navigate your Bible as you follow along in the service. Are you there in Acts 17? Look at verse 11. We already read it, but let's read it again. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready to receive the word, but notice this, and search the scriptures. Now it says they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so, meaning they went home and they read their Bible every day to make sure that what was preached from the word of God was actually what the Bible says. But even more than that, if they're searching the scriptures at home, don't you think they're probably searching the scriptures during the service? And by the way, let me just train you to never put a man on a pedestal. You know that Pastor Jimenez is a human? I can make mistakes. I could one day preach wrong doctrine. And that's why God gave you a Bible and God gave you the Holy Spirit. And it's important for you to go to the passages and you put your eyeballs on the Word of God and you read it and you understand it for yourself. Because sometimes people ask you questions. They say, well, why do you guys do that at your church? Or why do you do this? And if this is what you tell them, well, we do it because that's what the pastor says. You just gave the wrong answer. Because we teach you, we try to teach you everything we teach from at Verity Baptist Church, we try to back it up with Scripture. And it would be easier for me to just tell you, oh, don't turn here, let me just read this verse for you. And I may do that from time to time to help us with time. But let me tell you something, most of the time, I want you to go to the passage, I want you to open your Bible, I want you to read it so that you can see what the Bible says. So follow along in your Bible. Now, in order to follow along in your Bible, you got to bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible to church. We have Bibles here. And every service, I say, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and we'll get a Bible to you. And let me tell you something, we mean that. If you don't have a Bible, you happen to forget your Bible, you put your hand up, we'll get you a Bible. If we have them, we'll try to get you a Bible. We're not against that. We want you to have a Bible in church. But let me tell you something. Those Bibles are there primarily for our first-time guests and maybe just unchurched people that aren't really used to picking up a Bible, bringing it to you. I'm not talking to you. You're a new Christian and you're just not in the habit. I forgot my Bible again. I'm not talking to you. But those of you that you're part of the church family, you've been here for a while. I mean, you're out soul winning and you're sold out and you don't bring your Bible. I don't understand that. Where did you think you were going? It's like a carpenter going to work. You know, where'd you do it? I forgot my hammer. Africa, you kind of need that. You know, bring your Bible to church. Follow along in the Bible. And the more you try to follow along, the more you'll learn to navigate through your Bible. Take notes during the preaching. We give you a page there for notes. Some of you bring notebooks and you take notes during the preaching. I love that. Bring a pen and take notes during the preaching. The point of church is to learn the Word of God. And taking notes will help you learn. It'll give you something to review later. Maybe somebody will ask you a question later. And you're like, oh, you know what? Pastor preached a sermon on that. And you got your notes that you can review back to. And you can refer back to. So learn while you're here. Navigate the Bible. Take notes. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Towards the end of the New Testament, you got all those T-books, remember? 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. If you find the books that start with the letter T, and you'll have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like you to look at a short verse, verse number 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and look at verse number 20. I want you to notice this verse. Despise not prophesying. Do you see it? Despise not prophesying. Now let me explain something to you. Often we think of the word prophesying like foretelling the future. Okay? And that's definitely one of the definitions. But more often than not, the word prophesy or prophesying in the Bible, and you can study this out on your own at home if you'd like. If you don't trust me, I'm glad. Search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. Okay? Oftentimes in the Bible, the word prophesy is what we call preaching. You know, what the Bible calls prophesying is what I'm doing right now, preaching the Word of God. And you know, I may preach a sermon on end times prophecy. I may preach out of the book of Revelation. Then I am prophesying about future events. But the word prophesy in the Bible usually simply means to preach God's Word. A lot of times in the Bible, you'll see the word preach. And that's not really this that we're doing right now. That's usually what we consider evangelism or soul winning, which is still preaching God's Word. But sometimes we have those definitions mixed up. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, we're told, despise not prophesying. What he's saying, do not despise the preaching of the Word of God. When a man of God stands up to preach God's Word, whether it's me or someone, Brother Clint Anderson preached a great, great sermon on Wednesday night. I would challenge you, if, especially those of you with kids, if you weren't here on Wednesday night, go on our website and listen to that sermon. That was a great sermon for our families. But you know, when a man of God stands up and preaches God's Word, we ought not despise that. The word despise means to devalue or to not give a value to look at it as not worthy. God says to despise not preaching. And you know, let me say this, all right? During the preaching service, try not to get up during the preaching service. Try to teach your children to not get up during the preaching service. And you know, some of you say, Pastor, you're picking on us. Right? Look, let me tell you right now. My kids, my children, get up during the preaching service to get water, use the bathroom. I see them do it all the time. I don't call them out. I don't want to be the guy that just because they're my kids and I'm going to publicly embarrass them. I may from time to time say, "Hey, sit down," you know. But I'm trying to have grace and love with my children. Well, I'm telling you this. I'm not saying this to you to pick on you. My kids get up. My kids go to the restroom. My kids do that. But you know, we ought to have a mentality that the preaching of the Word of God is sacred.
Thank you.
That when someone stands up to deliver God's Word, it is God speaking to us. It is the Holy Spirit of God speaking through that man. And we ought not despise the prophesying of God's Word. So train your children. Train yourself to not get up during the church. Now look, my kids are not perfect. We're still training and working on them. This is something for all of us to work on. You know, and let me say this. Moms, you know, we're a family integrated church. We have those mother babies for you. I'm not talking to you. You feel free to get up and you go to the mother baby room when you need to. That is there for you. I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking about the older kids and even the adults that are getting up and getting some water, using the restroom. I'm just here to tell you, let's try to work on that. I understand. Look, I tell my kids, you know, don't get up during the preaching. Sometimes someone else is preaching or men's preaching night, the guys are preaching. I tell my boys, don't get up during the preaching. And then, you know, they look at you with that look. You know, they got the water in their eyes. It's an emergency. And I'm like, you gotta wait. Daddy, I gotta go. You know, and I'll give it. I'll say, okay, go use the restroom as quietly as possible. Okay, I'm not telling. Look, there are emergencies. There are times you gotta get up. I get that. I'm not talking. I'm just saying, don't have a habit of just teaching your kids. Oh, you know, there's a man of God up there preaching. No big deal. I'm just gonna get up and walk in there and grab a donut and grab a soda and come sit down. And, you know, Hey, have some respect for the Word of God. You know, and let me say this. If you got to get up during the service, that's fine. But could we ask this? Could we not have people walk across the front of the pulpit? I mean, the preaching of the Word of God is happening. People's eyes are up here trying to learn the Word of God. Let's not, you know, if you need to get up and use the restroom, why don't we get up, go to the back, and go that way? You need to get a cup of water, why don't we get up and go that way? Let's go around. Let's not go in front where everybody to here's the point. Let's minimize distractions to the best of our ability. Let's train our kids. Hey, try to get mom and dad, get in a habit of telling your kids, use the restroom before the church service. And if you forget, there's so many times where I think to myself, man, I forgot to tell my kids to use the restroom. Try to have them use the restroom during the singing service. But let's train our children and let's train ourselves that when it's time to open God's Word, to despise not prophesy, to try to minimize the distractions as much as possible. You know, ladies, let me tell you this. During the preaching of the Word of God, utilize the baby rooms properly. Utilize the baby rooms properly. And like I said, this is not a normal sermon, I know. This is kind of just training. We'll do this from time to time. We'll get back to normal preaching next week. But ladies, utilize the baby room properly. Baby rooms are for parents' convenience. They are to help you. Because your child, you know, starts crying or your child needs a diaper change, we want to give the ladies a place where they can go and privately take care of their children and they can still listen to the service and they can still watch the service. Ladies, use them in the baby room. They're there for you. We want you to use them. We're not upset if you get up and walk into the baby room. But let me tell you something. The purpose of the mother-baby room is to help you care for your child. The purpose of the mother-baby room is not for you to go in there and talk. Now look, I'm not mad at you, and let me say this. I know it's not all the ladies. I know it's not all the ladies all the time. Okay, but, you know, there are times when we can hear you. Look, if we can hear you having a conversation out here, there's a problem. You know, we hear a kid crying, that's not going to bother us. We hear ladies laughing or playing Parcheesi. I don't know what you're doing in there. You know, the ushers are going to, you know, if we have to go in there and say, hey, ladies, you're being a little too loud, okay, there's a problem there, all right? I know it's not all the ladies. I know it's not all the ladies all the time. I'm not mad at you. We're just doing a little bit of training. Use the mother-baby rooms properly. They're to help you. They're to give you a little bit of privacy. If you need to nurse a child, you need to change the diaper. But the reason the monitor is in there is so that you can still listen to the Word of God being preached. And look, let me say this. I understand that you need to talk to the children in there. I get that. And I understand that you're going to be talking in there and having conversation. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not even against that. I'm just saying, don't let it get to the point where you're like, I don't even know what he preached about this morning. Because that's not why you came to church. If you want a fellowship, show up 15 minutes early. Not at all. You want to talk to someone, show up early. Also, let me say this. Use the baby rooms to train your children. Okay? Let me just say this, mom and dad. We are not going to think bad of you. And we are not going to think wrong of you. If you are coming in and out of the church service, you know, because you're going in there, you're telling your child you're going to sit there and you're going to listen and you're going to sing out, and they're maybe having a bad attitude, and you go in that mother baby room and you spank that child, like the Bible says. I'm not going to go to the verses. I dealt with a lot of them Sunday night. Brother Clint dealt with a lot of them on Wednesday. So I'm not going to it's a very scriptural principle to spank your children. The Bible teaches that. You're going to go in there, you're going to spank your children, and then you're going to come back out, and then they're going to act up again, and you're going to go back in there, you're going to spank him, and you're going to do that back and forth the whole service. Look, none of us are going to think anything bad of you. In fact, in my mind, I'm going to be saying, praise the Lord that there is a mom or a dad that is training their children to sit in church. We want that, because you know what that means? There's going to be a child here in the very near future that's going to get it. And they're going to sit down and they're going to learn to sit. So we're not against moms. You do that. You use those rooms to train your children. Dads, you use those rooms to train your children. And let me say this also to those of you that don't have kids. Don't ever look down on these kids. Don't ever look down on these moms and dads that are training their children. Brother Clint said it beautifully on Wednesday night. This is the next generation. These children are they're the future. They're going to carry the gospel into the next generation. We love them at Verity Baptist Church. We want them to learn. And by the way, they're learning a lot more than you think. They're absorbing a lot of what's being taught in the Word of God. And a lot of times they're absorbing way more than the parents are. And don't look down at these kids and say, these kids are being rowdy. These kids are being... Hey, look, if they're distracting you, come sit in the front row. There'll be no distractions. But, you know, love these kids. This is a family integration. They start playing. They start wrestling. They start whatever. You know, I'm not talking about the church service. I'm talking before, you know, after the service. They're playing. Hey, you know, if a flag football game breaks out in the middle of the auditorium, we might have to, you know, stop that, okay? But they're just playing a little bit. Let's not be so uptight about the children, okay? We love the kids. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's deal with a little more in regards to during the preaching of God's word. During the preaching of God's word. Let me say this. Let's talk about shouting amen. Or shouting different things during the church service. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says this. If you look at verse 33, I'd like you to see this passage. 1 Corinthians, you got Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Look at verse number 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. The Bible says, for it is not for God, 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Skip down to verse number 40. Look at verse 40, same chapter. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. You know, let me tell you something. I want to talk to the men primarily right now. The Bible teaches that men ought to shout amen and say amen and affirm. You know, the phrase amen means let it be so, or it's affirming what was said. Pastor may say something and you agree with that. You may say amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's in the Bible. The Bible doesn't speak against that. But let me tell you something. We ought to do it decently and in order. Here's what I'm trying to avoid. Let's not turn this into some Pentecostal circus, okay? Let's keep a decent and an order attitude of the Word of God. I'm all for saying amen. Men's preaching tonight. These guys are preaching. I'm saying amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hey, that's good. Let's keep that. I fear even talking about this because I think what happens is you mention it and then everybody goes to the opposite, you know. Look, we're a Baptist church. I'm not against these other... But this isn't a Presbyterian church, okay? You don't have to walk in like this. Peace be unto you. Okay, you don't have to do that. You know, smile, sing, say amen. But let's not take it to a place where it's just ridiculous. Okay? Let's have an attitude of decently and in order. You know, here's where you know it's ridiculous. When it becomes about you, bringing attention to yourself. Hallelujah! I showed my parents and my sister. There's a video on YouTube. I'm not going to tell you the name because it's not... You know, I'm just not going to say the name. But there's a video on YouTube of this Baptist church. Unfortunately, it's a Baptist church. And I mean, the guy, they're having the singing service. People are running around. They're taking their coats off. They're swinging it. They're throwing it at the guy. One guy literally, like, jumped into the baptistry. He dove into the baptistry. There's guys coming down the aisle. They're dancing. Look, it's a joke. It's a show. It's all about the flesh. Let's not allow that. Men, say amen. You know, don't be afraid to say amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. I'm not trying to quiet that. I'm trying to tell you, let's do it decently and in order and to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're doing is we're agreeing with the Word of God. You're not agreeing with me, and we're not here to look at you either. All right? So men, when it comes to shouting amen, let's keep it decently and in order. Let me deal with the women. Women in regards to shouting amen. Now listen, you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Menes, you're just stepping on everybody's toes today. I mean, I was late, my kids, you know, whatever. Let me tell you, I'm going to, let me step on my toes a little bit, okay? I've told you this before, and I'm not ashamed of this. Some of you may walk out of here and say, I'm never going back to that church. People have this idea that the pastor is supposed to be perfect. I'm here to tell you, I can be the first one to attest to you, Pastor Jimenez is not perfect. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife. I'm sure she'd be happy to, you know, give you some examples. But, you know, I've often been asked, you know, about women shouting amen or women saying amen in the church service. And, you know, I grew up in churches where women were not, women were told to not say amen. I never said that from the pulpit at Verity Baptist. I've never taught that. And I'll tell you why I never taught it. The Bible teaches all throughout the Old Testament. Don't turn to these passages. You can write them down, look them up if you'd like later, or the phrases. But the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament, you'll find phrases like this, where it says, and all the people shall say amen. And all the people said, amen. And all the congregation said, amen. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Let all the people say, Amen. And I saw those passages of Scripture, and I said, well, if God said, the entire congregation said Amen, then I'm not really going to have an issue with everybody saying Amen. But I'd like to explain something to you. Pastor Jimenez was corrected on that. I'm here to tell you that I'm stepping on my toes right now. I'm correcting something that maybe I should have done a long time ago. So I'm here to tell you, I am not, you know, the preaching hits me too, okay? And let me show you a principle in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 33. I used to say, hey, anyone who wants to say amen, let the congregation say amen. The Bible says that. And by the way, the Bible does say that in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the Bible says this. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 33. You should be there already. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. The Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Verse 34. Notice this. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. The Bible says that women are to keep silent in the churches. Now, I was familiar with that verse. I knew that verse. I understood the verse. I always took that verse as saying this. And by the way, it does say this. The Bible teaches that women should not be preachers. You may say, I don't like that. Okay, here's something you need to learn about Verity Baptist Church. We are biblicists. What that means is that the Word of God is the authority on all matters of faith and practice. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't matter if I don't like it. Paul said, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Okay, I know that there are famous women preachers out there. I know you got Joyce Myers running around and all these women preachers. But let me tell you something. The Word of God says, let your women keep silence in the churches. And no, we will never have a woman stand up here and preach the Word of God because the Bible says it's not permitted for them to speak. Does that mean that they're lesser than men? Absolutely not. Does that mean that they're not equal to men? Absolutely not. Does that mean that they, you know, all it means is this. God created them with a separate role. Someone said it like this. At home, I have a dishwasher and I have a, washing machine for clothes. When I put dirty clothes in the washing machine, it does a great job at washing the clothes. When I put dirty dishes in the dishwasher, it does a great job at washing the dishes. But when I put clothes in the dishwasher, it doesn't work. And when I put dishes in the washing machine, it doesn't work. God created it. Now, which was better, the dishwasher or the washing machine? They're different. They were created for different roles, to do different things. Men aren't better than women. Women aren't better than men. They were just created to do different things. And one of the things that God said, and you say, well, I can't believe you're saying, this is why I want you to turn to the passage. Because if you look down at your Bible, and you read 1 Corinthians 14:34, hey, you can get mad at me all you want, but the Word of God says, let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under the obedience, as also saith the law, for if they will learn. Now notice the context, okay? And here's kind of the new light that I saw. Verse 35. And if they will learn anything. So notice, the context is in regards to them learning something. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. According to the Bible, they are to keep their silence in the church. It's not permitted to them to speak. And they are to learn, if they're going to learn anything, if they don't understand, they got a question, they want to say something, it says let them ask their husbands at home. By the way, man, gentlemen, that puts a lot of responsibility on you to be in your Bible and be learning and be the spiritual leader that your wife needs you to be. But go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I can see this is going over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish gathering, so we'll try to do this quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 11. Remember all those T-books? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let me bring this all together. Notice what the Bible says. Let the women learn in silence. Now here's the thing. Okay, is this verse saying that women aren't allowed to speak? When you come into the church building, women, stop saying anything. Don't say anything. How are you? Is that what we're talking about? No. By the way, this building is not church. This is a building. The church is the people. The church, the word church means assembly, congregation. When believers come together and assemble together, this is a church gathering. We could be meeting in a nice building. We could be meeting in a living room. We could be meeting under a tree. We could be meeting under a bridge. And it would still be church because church are the people, not the building. So when you come in, ladies, and someone says, how are you doing? You can say, good, how are you? You know, can I help you with something? Yeah, where's the coffee? Or whatever. You can talk. That's not what we're talking about. But when it's time to learn, when it's time to open up God's Word and it is time to teach the Word of God, remember, what was the purpose, the primary purpose of church? To learn the Word of God. Okay, when it's time to learn, how are women to learn? Verse 11, 1 Timothy 2, 11. Let the women learn in what? Silence. So are you supposed to be talking while the learning of the Word of God is being done? No. Are you supposed to be shouting amen? Because here's the thing. When someone shouts amen, here's what they're doing. They are affirming. They are saying that is correct. They're saying that is right. I agree with that. And here's the thing, women. You are not just, the Bible says women are not to usurp the authority of the men. Here's the honest truth. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm honestly, you know, trying to preach this sermon in the spirit of grace as much as I'm able to. Because, you know, sometimes I get up here and I'm just kind of mean and yelling. But tonight, you know, I'm trying to be different. Here's the thing. The Bible says, the Bible is teaching that we don't need, here's the thing, ladies, I don't need your affirmation. You are to learn in silence. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are we against you? No. Do we think you're worthless? Absolutely not. Look, women are great. I love women so much, I married one. My mom was a woman. You know, they're great. We don't think women are bad at all. Okay? Here's the thing. God's word tells us that let the women learn in silence with all subjection. 1 Timothy 2:12, if you turn away from it, let me just read it for you. But I suffer not a woman to teach, so a woman's not supposed to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, this is talking about women. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on apparel. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, women, your value is not in the way you look. Now, there's nothing wrong with you looking nice. You know, don't walk around like a bag lady, you know. Put on a nice dress and comb your hair. There's nothing wrong with that. But verse 3 says, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning. That's not the value of who you are. That outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on apparel. That's not the value that God sees in you. Here's the value, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. Notice, this is how God describes women, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And you know what, ladies, let me just clue you in on something. You know that every man is looking for, they may or may not know it, but do you know that every man is looking for a woman that can be described this way, a meek and quiet spirit? You know what I loved so much about my wife before we ever dated or got married? Is that she had a meek, even to this day, she has a meek and quiet spirit. Not no man wants to be with a woman that's loud and obnoxious. Book of Proverbs actually teaches, he talks about being with a loud woman in a wide house. You know, no man wants that. The Bible says, when you say, I can't believe you're saying this, Oprah Winfrey said, Dr. Phil said, I don't care what they said, the Word of God says you are to have a meek and quiet spirit. Now, you say, well, what do you do with all those verses? And all the congregation said amen, and all the people answered amen, amen. Let all the people say amen. I guess, you know, once the preaching's done, we pray, and you know, at the end of the sermon, when I pray, and I say amen, I guess, you know, let all God's people say amen. I guess we can all say amen at the end of the service. But during, the Bible's clear, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So during the preaching, men, shout amen, but don't let this turn into a circus. And women, your job is to learn in silence. You can nod your head, you can smile, you want to bring a hanky and wave it, I guess go ahead. But, you know, you are to learn in silence is what the Bible says. Go to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Let's deal with two more things and we'll be done. I know that this was kind of a different sermon, but that's okay. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 42. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42, okay? We talked about before the service. We talked about during the singing service. We talked about during the preaching. Okay, let's talk about after the church service. After the church service. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 42. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Skip down to verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, you say, how do we act during the church service? Hey, don't be this person that just runs out of church as soon as it's done. You know, stick around in fellowship. The Bible says that they the apostles' doctrine in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Don't, you know, you got to go to work. Okay, well, I understand that. You know, get up and don't be late to work. Okay, we're not talking to you. But if you don't have anywhere, just, I'm not saying stick around for an hour. I'm just saying stick around and talk. Fellowship with your church family. Don't just run out the door. You know, and let me say this. You ought to develop a fellowship outside of the church service with the church family. You ought to have time where people from the church get together outside of church without Pastor Jimenez. You know, just on your own, you know, take people out to eat and get to know each other and love each other. The social atmosphere of a Christian ought to be surrounded by God's people in God's house. And that's how it was in the book of Acts. It says that they broke bread together. They went from house to house. You know, fellowship with your church family outside of church. I love it when I hear people saying, oh, we got together on a Friday night, or we went out to lunch, or we went this, or we went that. You got to do that. You got to invite people. Now, let me go ahead and make a few disclaimers, okay? Do it appropriately. All right, couples, you know, invite couples, families, invite families. You single guys, get together. You single ladies, get together. You know, don't let me hear that, you know, some guy, you know, I invited so-and-so's wife to have lunch with me. Okay, that's weird, all right? Do it appropriately. You know, and let me say this. If I notice, okay, I'm the pastor. My job is to watch people, and you better believe I watch people. I watch people more than you may think. If I notice that everyone that you begin to pal around with all of a sudden starts quitting church, everyone that gets close to you no longer comes to church, you better believe that we're going to have a talk. All right, I'm not trying to discourage you, fellowship, but if it just seems like everyone so-and-so befriends, shortly after leaves the church, we're going to be having a talk. If you're fellowshipping with people so that you can sell your product, you better believe we're going to have a talk, okay? John 12:16 says, Jesus said, unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. We don't sell anything at church. We don't sell you the preaching CDs. We don't sell you anything. The only money that is transferred in the church service is during the offering, because the Bible teaches us to take the offering. But let me tell you something. You want to come in here and sell your Amway or your Mary Kay or whatever. I'm not against it. I'm all for you working. I'm all for you business. But take it elsewhere. Do not make the house of God a house of merchandise. If I start hearing that you're having people over every Friday night so you can show them your little Amway presentation, we're going to have a talk, all right? The purpose of fellowship is to edify each other. Iron sharpeneth iron, the countenance of a friend, okay? So let's not be doing all things. If you're having people meet together so you can try to, you know, teach them false doctrine, so you can try to split the church, we're going to have a talk, all right? I'm just trying to help you out. Fellowship, love each other, go out to lunch, go out to dinner, have people over, but you start having problems, we're going to have problems, all right? And I think it's been pretty clear throughout the years that, I don't like fighting, I'm not looking for a fight, but if you want to start a fight, we can fight, all right? I'm not opposed to it either. Hey, Pastor Jimenez, this is a weird sermon. I know, it's kind of just training for our church family. Okay, maybe you're a guest this morning. This is not what we usually preach at Verity Baptist Church. We preach a variety of different things. We preach doctrine, we preach stories, we preach topical sermons. And next week, we'll get back to our normal thing. But from time to time, I want to train our church family. And you know, let me say this to those of you that are part of the Verity Baptist Church family. Receive this morning's lesson in the right spirit. I'm not trying to step on your toes, at least not today. Usually every other service, yeah, I am. You know, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to just take something from this morning's sermon. Take at least one thing and say, I'm going to work on that. Maybe it's showing up on time or being early. Maybe it's greeting someone. Maybe it's working with your kids. You know, let me give you a personal note. I, Pastor Roger Jimenez, here's what I'm taking from the sermon this morning. I'm going to try to work with my kids because I've realized that I have not done a good job at training them to use the restroom and get water before the service starts. I'm going to try. And here's the thing. This isn't something that I'm telling you and then I'm going to go tell my wife, make sure those kids don't get up. You know what? My wife has so much on her plate already. She has, you know, newborn baby now, and she had babies before. She's constantly giving rides to people. I can't expect her to take care of the children before the, when she's giving rides to people, which allows me to be able to be here and prepare for the church service. You know, so I'm not saying it's not. This is. I'm not telling you what I'm going to tell my wife to work on. I'm saying this is where I'm personally taking responsibility. What I'm taking from the sermon this morning is I'm going to try to work on my children to get them to use the restroom and to get water and try to get them to sit still during the church service. Are they going to mess up? I'm sure they are. Are they going to get up because it's an emergency? I'm sure they will. Are your kids going to mess up? I'm sure they will. We're not looking down. I'm just telling you, me personally, this is what I'm working on. So I would ask you, find something to work on. Find something to help our church become better at what we do. Maybe you say, I don't really sing out. Sing out. Maybe you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe you say, I don't really, you know, I kind of leave right after church and I don't really talk to anybody. You know, step out of your comfort zone and try to talk to somebody. But let's learn how to behave in the house of God. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. And Father, I understand that this morning's sermon was different than what someone might expect. And this isn't something we normally do at our church, but I believe that it is my responsibility to teach and train the Word of God, and I want to try to do my best to train our people. And Father, I pray that you would help all of us to receive the sermon and the spirit in which it was given. And Father, help all of us to learn and to find something to work on. And to not get upset and not, even with our children, help us to be patient, not to be upset. We know they need time to learn and understand. And we love them, Lord. I pray you'd help us in your precious name. Amen.